The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
We go to Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable, exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own Credit Union Studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, far sideline, 15, 10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. And by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. You can't spell Haug without the U, the G, and the A. HaugLawGroup.com.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Oh, it is indeed Thursday morning, and it is indeed another beautiful day in the Deep South, and we are always thankful for that this time of the spring. And welcome to the Bulldog Roundtable, coming to you live from the heartbeat of Dog Nation, Georgia's Own Credit Union Studio, and presented by the Haug Law Group. And we got a lot to cover today because, of course, tonight the NFL draft gets underway, and we expect the University of Georgia to have numerous players over the next couple of days selected in this NFL draft, and we're going to be covering that a little bit later. But right now, let's turn our attention to our good buddy Connor O'Gara. He's the senior national columnist for Saturday Down South. And Connor, thanks so much for your time this morning. Welcome to the show. And look, we're just kind of wrapping up spring practices around the SEC. A number of new head coaches. Give me your overall view on which of these newbies in the SEC has fared the best during the spring.
If I have to give one of the new coaches a nice little stamp of approval, I'd probably have to go with Brian Harsin at Auburn. Now, I think all four of the new coaches in the SEC are going to have a really difficult time improving where their teams were at last year. But I think Brian Harsin has done a really good job so far of working with Mike Bobo to be able to develop Bo Nix. Now, I'm kind of out on the Bo Nix hype train. I sold my Bo Nix stock probably like November of 2019. So I'm not going to sit here and say that I think he's going to turn into a star or anything. But I like a lot of the decisions that we've seen from Brian Harsin. Some of the things in camp so far, I love the coaching staff moves that he made where he basically poached, you know, a third of Shane Beamer's staff at South Carolina. I like the decision to move J.J. Pegues to defensive tackle. I think that's going to yield some great dividends for them as well. I just think that he has a good idea of what it's going to take to be able to win in this league. And the more you kind of hear, the more that Harsin really has that respect there, despite the fact that he came in as an outsider. He spent 22 of the last 25 years of his life up in the northwest part of the country, thousands of miles away from here. So I just have been impressed with what he's been able to do so far. It might not translate into the win column just yet, but I would be very encouraged if I was an Auburn fan.
You mentioned Shane Beamer over at South Carolina. With the losses to his staff so early on, what do you expect that to have a ramification with the SEC, particularly with South Carolina fans?
Yeah, it's about getting the right people in there, though. If Marcus Satterfield takes off in year one with Luke Doty as his quarterback, nobody's going to care about that. You know, like, that's not going to be considered a big deal. If South Carolina is able to have one of these years in which they kind of repeat what they did last year, but there's just more optimism surrounding the program, then that's going to be fine because they're going to be set up to have a lot of production coming back in 2022. One would think they're at the very bottom end in terms of all FBS teams with a percentage of returning production, the stat that Bill Connolly puts together at ESPN every year. So I would worry about that, of course. But then again, if you're a program that looks like you're on the up and up and you maybe are a bit more competitive in these big time games against Georgia's, the Florida's, the Clemson's, then you're going to be feeling better as a South Carolina fan. And let's be honest, it got stale with Will Muschamp. It seems stubborn. Everybody knew he didn't know how to manage the quarterback position. If you don't know how to manage the quarterback position in this league, you don't have a chance. And they did not have a chance with Will Muschamp. They have a chance with Shane Beamer, a guy who seems to be a bit of this like jack of all trades type of guy. It might not necessarily fall into one specific box that we look for in these coaching candidates, but someone who has waited a long time to have this opportunity and could be in a really good position to have some long-term success there. It's just going to be a little bit tougher in year one, given the pieces that he inherited.
Well, then, is it fair, and we're speaking with Connor O'Gara, the senior national columnist for Saturday Down South, and Connor, is it fair to say then that the two schools up in Tennessee, and understanding one of them being Vanderbilt, they face the biggest uphill climb?
There's no doubt. I mean, Clark Lea at Vandy, that move was not made for year one, year two, or probably even year three, obvious wins, loss, turnaround. And that was a long-term move, and it's already you're seeing the why this was a move made by Candace Story Lea, and some of the funding that they're going to be able to have now with raising the $300 million project to be able to update those facilities. This is a football stadium that hasn't been updated with a major renovation since the early 80s. Like, this is 2021. I mean, that's an absurd thing to think about. So that's the good news if you're a Vandy fan. It's Clark Lea, a Vandy guy, is the right person to be able to make that happen, to be able to shake some hands and kind of, you know, provide some of that positivity in a different sort of way. And, you know, with Tennessee, I think that defense is going to be the worst in the SEC this year. I just don't see any way with the roster attrition and the style of offense that they play, which Josh Heupel's offense, it does a lot of things. But what it also does is it puts a ton of pressure on the defense because of the time of possession. The home run strikeout ratio is kind of the comparison that I make. And it, even at UCF, it's not a complementary style for the defense. They're going to be bad on that side of the ball. But the biggest thing he has working in his favor is he can sell a fun offense that looks so different than what Jim Chaney ran in those 2 years that he was at Tennessee. And that's a big asset to be able to have in year one. And that can work with recruiting, that can work with fans. And as we know at Tennessee, that's a pretty important part of the job.
Is there one of these coaches that has perhaps gotten off to a bad start with his fan base? Or do you think all of them right now have the full support of their fan bases behind them?
Josh Heupel got off to a bad start with his fan base, but I think some of it is inevitable, and then some of it is just him kind of not understanding some of the bigger picture things. When he pulls a scholarship from a kid the day before National Signing Day, and then it comes out that he didn't even call the kid to let him know, bad look. When you have four players arrested in an off-the-field issue, including your true freshman early enrollee four-star quarterback, not the best look. When you take 3 weeks to hire your defensive coordinator, and again, it's because his defense does not play complementary football with that offense, that's a bad look. I thought some of the things that Josh Heupel was doing early on just kind of make you wonder, man, is this guy in over his head? But I think some of the decisions that he's made recently, I love the idea of the open practice that they had a couple weeks ago. That's kind of the anti-Georgia thing, right, where he decided to have everybody come into Neyland and be able to watch a spring scrimmage and not necessarily a spring game, but be able to have that open interaction, because you need that at Tennessee. And that fan support, it can dictate so much. So I didn't think that he got off to the best start there, but I think that he's kind of redeemed himself with some of these moves and some of these personnel decisions. And, you know, if he's able to put up some points there in year one, and even if it feels a little bit reminiscent of like 2017 Ole Miss, where they can't stop anyone on defense, but they can at least put up some points, then that'll bode well moving forward.
Connor, I got to ask you here. We got about a minute left, and we got 127 days until the Dogs and the Clemson Tigers kick it off on September 4th. So the college football season now just literally around the corner. It's amazing how quickly it comes on you. But from what you're hearing and from what we're starting to see now, are you expecting full capacity across the SEC and perhaps even that announcement coming soon?
I think we're heading in that direction, and it'll be a school by school deal. LSU announced yesterday that it will be that it plans on having full capacity. I think we're probably going to get to that point, and people just want to be able to kind of wait and see with some of the vaccine, make sure everybody that it's available to those who need it, and they want to kind of see that process through a little bit before everyone kind of makes that announcement. But it certainly feels like we're heading in that direction. And what a great thing that that would be for this sport, and how much we would appreciate that. It's still such a weird sight when you look at places that have, you know, these full stadiums. It still doesn't feel quite real yet, given the year that was. But man, I tell you what, I certainly missed it this past year, and I'm sure people listening to this can't wait to get back into Athens and have things feel like normal. I hope that's the direction that we're able to get to. And if we're able to get there, man, 2021 is going to be awfully fun in the SEC.
Well, I'm with you, Connor. I'm absolutely with you every step of the way, and always appreciate it. Great stuff from you as usual. Connor O'Gara, senior national columnist for Saturday Down South, here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. We're going to take a break, come back, turn our attention to one of our very own, Carlos Medina, front office Lowe's, from right here at 680 The Fan, as we preview tonight's first round of the NFL draft. That's next.
The only Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Butzmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
And welcome back, and our thanks once again to Connor O'Gara, the senior national columnist for Saturday Down South, for being with us here on the Bulldog Roundtable. Of course, tonight, the opening round of the NFL draft. Need I tell you that so many eyes of so many college football, former college football players, their families, their friends, will be paying close attention to how this goes tonight. There doesn't seem to be much doubt about who's going number one. That appears to be Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson. But at that point, it's going to start to get a little bit murky, and we're going to have to wait and see how it shakes out. But we're joined now by our good friend Carlos Medina, front office Lowe's. And tonight you can hear Carlos along with home team Brandon Leake. They're going to be hosting a show right here on 680 The Fan. And also you can catch it on 680 The Fan's YouTube page. And they will have you totally covered on all things that happened with this NFL draft tonight. I wouldn't miss this for anything, particularly with this guy. Los, thanks for your time. I'm sure you've got your, as we like to say, the cows are in the barn, or the hay's in the barn, or whatever that is. But I'm sure you're ready to go and looking forward to this.
Chuck, first off, appreciate the time. I'll tell you, it's so weird. I spend so much time looking forward to the draft, and then I spend at least a good 24, 48 hours waiting to just get the draft over with. So I'm kind of in that between place. I'm really excited about tonight. I also want to get it over with as well.
Well, is it fair to say that we're pretty well locked in at number one? After that, are we sure about what's happening? It certainly appears that the Falcons at four are in flux.
As of now, one and two are pretty much the, as you put it, the hay is in the barn. Trevor Lawrence is going to go number one to Jacksonville. From all indications, Zach Wilson, the quarterback from BYU, is going to go number two to New York. Then the intrigue of the draft starts. Everything starts at three. And whether that ends up being Mac Jones, the quarterback from Alabama, maybe Trey Lance, the quarterback from North Dakota State, that still kind of remains to be seen. And then what happens with Atlanta? To me, I'm in the camp of believing that Atlanta, if they have a particular quarterback they like, they'll take him. If not, more than likely it ends up being the tight end from Florida, Kyle Pitts.
Well, I got to tell you, Kyle Pitts is one that And I think it's fair for me to say this now. I had him on my I didn't have him number one, but I did have him on my Heisman ballot. I thought he was that kind of an impactful player when I saw him play and the times I saw him play. I think you couldn't go wrong with that. I'm not hearing the name Justin Fields. What has happened to Justin Fields in all this?
I think a lot of the things that have gone on during this process is that you're trying to find the guys that are the most pro-ready to help you tomorrow. And Trevor Lawrence can get on the field and help you in an NFL game week one. Zach Wilson, more polished as a passer, able to help you week one. But I will tell you this, Justin Fields, I have my big board. I rank my top 50 guys. I went through about 75 this year in order to get to my top 50. Justin Fields is number 6th overall on the board for me. He's that talented of a player. I don't believe that any of these quarterbacks are going to get outside of the 8th overall pick. So whether it ends up being to Carolina, whether somebody makes a move up the draft board, whether it's Denver or New England or somebody along those lines, somebody's going to jump into the top 10 tonight, I believe, and draft Justin Fields.
Just too good a talent to let sit there for too long.
Oh, absolutely. There's too much good tape. And there's too much of a ridiculous athlete. We are talking about a young man at 6'3", 225, 230 pounds with movement ability and the arm strength. He can put the football wherever he needs to. He's just going to need time to get used to some of the things you need to do in the NFL in terms of reading defenses. Once he catches on to that as a smart young man, I don't have any doubt that he's going to be a quality starter.
I know, Los, from previous conversations with you, how high you are on University of Georgia pass rusher, the edge rusher, Azeez Ojulari, and everybody expects him to go in the first round. My question becomes, is there a chance that Eric Stokes, Tyson Campbell, two terrific corners, that they could also find themselves in that first round?
Oh, 100%, Chuck. Here's what's going to be so intriguing about tonight's draft. So for me, and again, I keep my own board, I do my own grades, and then I lay everything out from there. I have 18 players that I have listed as first-round picks. Just because there's 32 first-round picks doesn't mean that there are 32 players worthy of being a first-round pick. I firmly believe that from about 20 to 35 this year, we're going to hear just names where you go, whoa, I couldn't imagine the team thought of them.
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming, didn't know they had them that high. I think Eric Stokes is one of those guys. I think Tyson Campbell is one of those guys where it wouldn't surprise me one bit if in the back end of the first round, one of those young men get their name called. Azeez Ojulari, as long as the team is comfortable with the knee, I know that he had the knee in high school, had the surgery that was done on the ACL. He checks all the rest of the boxes. He has production. He's been an outstanding player at Georgia. He's one of the better edge rushers in this draft. But it wouldn't surprise you if either one of the cornerbacks find their way into the back end of the first round, maybe at the very top of the second round on Friday.
And the other thing that about Eric Stokes, let me just mention, this is a young man, and I've watched him now, you know, his entire career at the University of Georgia on those sidelines in every game. And it's just my sense, I don't have stats on this, he's got an uncanny ability when he intercepts balls, and he does that frequently, but he gets a high percentage of them to the house.
Yeah, that's the fun part about him, is that whatever the ball ends up in his hands, it suddenly turns back into high school, where now he's the attacker, he's the receiver, he's the guy who's getting the ball into the end zone. If there's one thing to bring up with him, it's a clutching and grabbing. He did have some holding calls, but outside of that, you are talking about, from a prospect standpoint, the size, the speed, the ability, the numbers, all those things check out. There's not one thing about him outside of the clutching and grabbing where you go, uh-oh, I don't know if this is going to work. I think he's going to be a top 50 pick without a problem.
Los, before I let you go, is this going to be a draft that we're going to be hearing University of Georgia call throughout?
Oh, absolutely, Chuck. We're talking about not just through the first round. The first round is going to be something where, just as Georgia fans have gotten used to, you have first round guys. But remember, this is, you know, as you brought up, Tyson Campbell, that's another player that's going to go off the board early. But then you're going to have like the Ben Clevelands, even the DJ Daniels of the world, who isn't carrying a top four round grade. Yet somebody in the 5th, 6th, or 7th round is going to say, I want to take a shot with this kid. Trey McKitty, who came over from Florida State, he's going to get drafted. Mark Webb, Monty Rice. I believe Monty Rice doesn't get out of the 4th round. There are so many players throughout the organization that are going to get drafted. And I think Kirby Smart and the entire program are going to be very proud of the class that comes out this year.
And the final question, Richard LeCount.
Richard LeCount's the wild card. What's his health status? That's going to be all of it. You know, I know the running didn't go exactly the way everybody wanted, but Richard LeCount has 3 years worth of tape, 4 years worth of tape where he looks outstanding as a football player. For me, probably a late round guy, maybe a priority free agent, but I think he gets an opportunity in camp, just like we had some guys last year that didn't get drafted but still made teams.
Carlos, I can't thank you enough for your time because I know how busy today is for you, how excited you are for tonight. Best of luck with the show tonight. I hope everybody tunes in to catch Carlos, home team Brandon Leak, as they will keep you totally apprised of all that is going on in the NFL draft. You can hear it on 680 The Fan and on 680 The Fan's YouTube. Carlos, thanks for your time, my friend.
Chuck, thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Carlos Medina here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got one of our student athletes next here on Bulldog Roundtable.
This is the official sports talk station of the Dogs.
It's Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
This is Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, and you're listening to the Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
And I want to start this segment with a big congratulations to our next guest, Michaela Coombs. She's a redshirt junior on our Lady Bulldog basketball team. Had such a terrific season this year, the Lady Dogs did. And she has been selected as the student athlete representative on the NCAA Division I Women's Basketball Competition Committee. That's quite an honor. And Michaela, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Chuck, for having me.
Well, I appreciate you being here. Tell me how you found out about your selection and kind of give fans an idea of what that's all about.
Yeah, actually, one of the SEC reps actually emailed me and asked me if I wanted to apply for this. And she just told me she was going to put my name in and give all my information. And late last week, I got an email from one of the assistant directors of the NCAA congratulating me on getting the position. But basically, I've just been selected as the student athlete rep for this committee, and I'll be in the position to give insight on how rules and other decisions impact student athletes.
Yeah, well, and that's the big thing is the view of the student athlete. And are there ideas that you have? Are there things that you would like to see perhaps done in the realm of women's basketball?
Yeah, there's actually no specifics right now, but I've been on the SEC Leadership Committee and all these different like Zoom calls these past couple of weeks, and I do think that student athletes deserve a voice, so I'll be able to be in a position to do that. And so, like, there's no specifics right now, but I'm just excited to have the opportunity to do that because I know I'll probably have some ideas come up in the future.
Well, we're certainly proud of you and proud, too, of the Lady Dogs and the year that y'all had. When did you start to see it all coming together?
Yes, thank you. Honestly, from the beginning of, like, the preseason we were having, I knew our team was going to be super special. We are just very determined to have a great season this year. But I think honestly, as we got into the SEC play, you could see how things started to unravel for us. And then once the SEC tournament started, that's when we really knew, like we are a really good team. And for us to make it to the championship, nobody expected us to be there. So we were really excited for that.
Was there a specific point? Was it that game up in Knoxville, for instance, where you kind of walked off the court with that win over the Lady Vols and looked at each other and went, you know, we got a chance to really do some damage here?
Yeah, I think that game was definitely a turning point for our season. I mean, for us to go in at halftime and be down 17, nobody expected us to come back out and pull out a win. So that really gave us a lot of confidence to be able to do that in Knoxville. So I definitely consider that a turning point for our season.
Tell me a little bit about what this team will look like going forward. I know so many of the players of seniors decided to come back, and then plus the recruiting class that Coach Taylor has put together. I mean, this looks like, you know, y'all will be in a position to really compete to move deep into the NCAA tournament next year.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually really excited for us to have Jenna and Q coming back. That's absolutely huge. And then the new freshmen coming in, they're a really good group. So I honestly think we'll be able to, if not stay on the same path, but we'll definitely be one of the best teams in the SEC. So we're really excited. We're just excited to work this summer and try and improve in any way we can.
Tell me, what makes Coach Taylor so successful?
I think it's just she's a relationship-oriented coach. Like, at the end of the day, I think when you're going out there and you're putting your heart on the line just for your coach every day, I think that's what makes us so special. It's not just about us. Like, well, obviously we're playing for each other, but we just want to – everything we do is in honor of Coach Joni and our coaching staff and the people around us. We just have a really good program, and I think that really shows while we're on the court.
Before I let you go, final question. That is that, as you know, when the NCAA tournament started last year, the men's and the women's, you know, there was suddenly – it came to the light, and probably in a good way, that there had been a disparity between the men's tournament and the women's tournament. And I think the reaction of the nation has forced the NCAA to come to reckoning here with, hey, we got to do a better job for women's athletics. Did you get that sense?
Yeah, I actually did. Like I said, there are certain things going on in the women's tournament as far as food, like not being distributed evenly. We honestly had a good experience, so I can't speak on that. But to see what was going on, just the disparity throughout the tournament, I definitely think – I'm not going to say it was a – I think it was kind of like a blessing in disguise, because I think it kind of just gave women athletes finally a chance to have a voice. Like with the weight room situation, nothing would have happened unless people spoke out. So I think, honestly, for us to be out on that national platform, it gave us the opportunity to finally have a voice and honestly try and make change, and hopefully that can continue.
Yeah, and it was great. I thought it was great to see the way people across the country reacted to it. And, and that is where change will really come, you know, and push forward. I was most impressed with that. Michaela Coombs here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable, and one of the stars of our women's basketball team. And Michaela, we're so proud of you with your appointment to the Rules Committee, the only student representative, and really proud of you for that. And best of luck to you with that, and best of luck for the Lady Dogs going forward next year.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Glad to have you here on the Bulldog Roundtable, and hope you'll come back. Michaela Coombs here with us. Our thanks to all of you in the Bulldog Nation for being with us today on the Bulldog Roundtable. Again, don't forget tonight, Carlos Medina, home team Brandon Leak, they'll be hosting the big draft special here on 680 The Fan. And in fact, home team Brandon Leak, he'll be up next. And here on 680 The Fan. And stay tuned all day long. They'll keep you updated if there are any trades, anything that happens concerning that NFL draft right here. Let's have a great Bulldog Day, everybody.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.